how much do you miss at-home doctor's visits like Doc Baker used to do on Little House on the Prairie? How about five and dime stores? We have a great one here still in Belmont, Massachusetts. Or hired mourners. Wait a minute, hired mourners? Did people really once hire ample women to shriek and wail at funerals? Apparently they did, and author Leslie Bloom says, bring them back. Her new book catalogs all the romantic, useful, and commendable fashions of another time. It's called Let's Bring Back, an encyclopedia of forgotten yet delightful, chic, useful, curious, and otherwise commendable things from times gone by. A whimsical love letter to a more leisurely past. And Leslie Bloom joins us from the NPR studios in New York. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, what fun. Let's jump in at the J's. You've got Jacks. You know, we always pick up Jacks. Jawbreakers. And then jeweled stomachers. What are those?
As you've just indicated, the breadth of Let's Bring Back entries is quite diverse. And it ranges from the juvenile and the silly to rather grand and whimsical. Jeweled stomachers are just this wonderful adornment that women used to wear many hundreds of years ago. They're like almost like a bodice, and they're jeweled, and they're just very beautiful. And I was looking around recently. The statement necklaces of today have gotten so outlandish that we're almost there, so why not bring the historical article back?
Well, and I feel I've seen sort of this, you know, triangle shape that goes right over your stomach and is a heavier material and has some jewels on it, which, by the way, could probably hide a multitude of sins. You know, it sounds like a great idea.
Absolutely. And on that note, there are a lot of bygone adornments that hide a multitude of sins, whether they are the simple hat. All women used to wear hats and, you know, turbans and that sort of thing if they had a bad hair day. And we don't really have that option these days. But the other one that I totally adore is the chubby, which is a short fur, and it can be found in a faux fur coat as well. And they are, as their name advertises, quite chubby. And when you're wearing one, you look quite skinny in comparison. So it's wonderfully deceptive, old-fashioned fashion.
Well, we know the whole idea of Let's Bring Back grew out of a column in the Huffington Post. What made you think of it, though, this idea of chic nostalgia?
Let's Bring Back is really an extension of my own life. I collect vintage books. I wear a lot of vintage clothing. I have two record players in my house. I listen to music on records because it sounds different than it does on an iPod. Now, at first, I thought I was just eccentric in my tastes, but as we moved increasingly into a digital age, I started to realize that a lot of my contemporaries really missed a lot of the things that I had always surrounded myself with. So I started this column in 2007, and I just outlined things, lovely things that I would love to bring back from the past, and it really hit a nerve.
Well, and they're not all lovely. I'm referring to Let's Bring Back fake vomit. Now, obviously, you haven't been to my house. Fake vomit, a fart machine. You know, you can still get those, but why do you think we should?
Some of the things are not necessarily extinct, but they may have fallen out of fashion's favor. I'm not exactly talking about, you know, fake vomit in that regard. A lot of the gag gifts from times gone by, whether they are that or the squirting flowers, or, you know, even if it's good prizes in a Cracker Jack box, they're so quaint in comparison to today's youthful diversions. Everything is electronica. And so there are a lot of references to very silly gag type things like wax lips in the book. And it obviously reveals that I have a very juvenile sense of humor underneath all of my fashion predilections.
But, you know, you're right. The prizes in the Cracker Jacks now stink. I mean, they really do. I love Cracker Jacks, but they're just not. It's not like the way it used to be, which is part of the point you're making. Let's tick through some of the other items on your list. Dressing screens. You said you could dress behind or hang your clothing on for the next day, but, I mean, most rooms don't even have room.
Well, I mean, there are a lot of omissions from modern architecture that should be brought back. And they don't necessarily need to be big rooms, but something like a boudoir where you had a dressing room. It's just a very civilized process. A lot of the book is devoted just to the art of dressing in general, whether it's, you know, the process in which you're getting dressed, to what you are wearing, to what you are dressing up for. One thing that my readers have always responded to, whether in the column or the newly released book, is the concept of dressing up for dinner or dressing up for flying on airplanes, both of which used to be hallowed rituals, and we know, unfortunately, very few people dress up to fly anymore.
Can you say polyester leisure suit?
Well, you're lucky if you get a polyester leisure suit next to you these days. I mean, a lot of people are wearing their pajamas on airplanes. And when you dress up for something like the opera or for ballet or for a flight, what you're really doing is you're honoring the experience of being there. And casualness definitely has its place. America is a casual nation, but formality has a lovely place in our lives as well.
Well, and that's why you list cutting gardens, you know, gardens where you just cut the flowers for the house. But then there's also the take one thing off rule. When you were getting dressed to go out, your mother would say, now take one thing off. off, like a piece of jewelry.
It's kind of the rule of thumb for elegant presentation. In this case, it was attributed to Elsie DeWolf, who was actually quite a flamboyant interior decorator, one of the first women to call herself an interior decorator. Now, in Elsie DeWolf's case, the one thing off could have been like a tulle headband with a tiara on top of it. So it probably behooved her to take one thing off. But I've always abided by that rule. And this rule, it should be noted, only works if you were wearing more than one thing to begin with.
That's right. Well, you know, there are TV shows like Mad Men and Boardwalk Empire now, period pieces. Do you think that this thing that you're writing about is starting to come out in other ways in culture, that people are kind of yearning for something?
Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, Mad Men especially, it really captured the zeitgeist, which is so strange because it's a nostalgic show. I actually heard the show brilliantly described once as a sort of a loathing nostalgia, where you're looking back at the beauty of the adornments and the formality of a lot of the rituals, but you also saw a lot of the uglier sides of nostalgia.
Sure. I mean, people were smoking themselves to death, drinking themselves to death, treating women terribly. So that's something we don't miss, yeah.
Yes. There are definitely many things from the past that should stay done and dusted. Something like Mad Men, you know, shows us the beauty and the horror of the past. And, you know, but we know right away what we want to leave behind and what we want to bring back. And Let's Bring Back is not really about returning to the past. What it says is, you know, we live in this digital age. The future is inevitable. This is what our lives look like now. But what do we want to bring from the past? Let's cherry pick the best things from the past and bring them with us as well. I feel like there really is a real desire to live more two-dimensionally again, even if we never get back to the standards of earlier eras. But that desire, again, for human connection, again, meeting for dinner or for drinks instead of just exclusively catching up with your friends online, you know, reading a book as opposed to reading something on a screen. Both of these rituals have their time and place, but there just definitely does seem to be a sort of a mass longing for these kinds of nostalgic adornments.
Which is why the first, very first word in your sort of dictionary of things to bring back is acquaintance, because all those people online are not your friends.
Acquaintance is, it's an underused word. I mean, today we throw the word friend around in a very, almost a careless manner, and friends are actually very hallowed people in our lives. And, you know, if we're lucky, we'll have only a handful of really true friendships. Acquaintance is the perfect word because it allows for the perfect mix of intimacy. You know this person, but they're not your intimate. You're not your friend. You can't be responsible for any of their naughtinesses or anything like that. And it's just, it's an old-fashioned word, but it's one that's not used today. And yet there is still a use for it. Nothing in our modern vernacular has taken its place. And the book is filled with those kinds of words, whether it's the word corny, like no word today means what corny meant and still means. And, you know, no word means what a knave or a scamp or a scoundrel means. And a lot of the words are just mischievous and delightful, and they definitely have a place in our lives today. We just have to remember to bring them along as we move forward.
Leslie Bloom, author and journalist, and her new book is Let's Bring Back, an encyclopedia of forgotten yet delightful, chic, useful, curious, and otherwise commendable things from times gone by. Leslie, thanks.
Thank you so much.
And don't forget, we'd love to hear what you'd like to hear or see brought back. Go to our website, herenow.org. How about organ grinders? That was another of Leslie's suggestions, so okay. Here's your organ grinder. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Robin Young. Join us again, Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, on the web at mathworks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.